One of the things I was exhorted to do when I first became a licensed minister, I was licensed to preach in the Free Will Baptist denomination. Let's see here. Yeah, Revelation 7 was that they said what Paul said, be instant, in season, and out of season. And I heard a preacher preach one time and say that means be ready to preach in season, out of season, deer season, squirrel season, rabbit season, baseball season. No matter what season it is, be ready to preach. So I have never forgot that. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to divide it now. Today is the division. When Paul told Timothy that we're to rightly divide the word of truth, I personally believe that the Bible is already correctly and rightly divided. I believe that there is a division here, and the dispensationalists chew me all up for this, and I've learned to just quit arguing with them because generally they don't listen. And that's generally because I don't listen. I've read their books. I've heard their sermons. I've listened to their arguments. And I find many, 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 many flaws in their suppositions. We have in our Bible, we have an Old Testament. We have in our Bible, we have a New Testament. These are the two, here's how Paul put it in Galatians. These are the two covenants. The two covenants, Paul said in Galatians that one covenant dealt with Mount Sinai and those who are still under the Mount Sinai covenant, which means that they have tried to accept God or have asked God to accept them by way of keeping His commandments. Now, who in the world has kept God's commandments? I can only think of one. His name was Jesus Christ. He kept all of God's commandments, never broke a single one. He came to fulfill them all. And He did, through Him and in Him, was the law fulfilled. He was made in the form and the fashion of the law. And He took the things that were in the law that were against us, the Bible says, and He nailed them to His cross so that they cannot be held against us any longer. In other words, the law, those laws cannot be placed against us in our account at any point if we accept the new covenant, the new testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd, and so on. And that new covenant is a covenant of belief, grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You have Where was I going after that? That was pretty good. For by grace I am saved through faith. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's God's grace, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's God's grace, that whosoever believeth in Him, that's our faith, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So the parts of the old covenant are keep all the laws of God, and you can live in this earthly land that God has set up for you. But no one lived it. Live these spiritual laws that came down to us from heaven. God says live by them. Live by faith. Live by grace through faith. And you will be accepted into God's kingdom because you believed and you trusted in what God said, and you believed it, and you are saved because God said you're saved, and God doesn't lie. If I am talking to somebody, I'm leading somebody to the Lord, and I get to 1 John 1:9, and I read that verse to them. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just. That means that God's character is such that no one's ever caught God in a lie. No one ever has. So what everybody in the world knows about God is His character is that we have always found Him to be true. God is faithful and God is just, which means that according to the law, not even God can break His own law. And we're given that in the type of the law of the Medes and the Pharisees. What was the law of the Medes and the Pharisees, anybody? What was that? Help me out, my voice is... I'm going to be drinking quite a bit. If I can get it. What was the law of the Medes and Pharisees? Anybody know? Does anybody want me to tell you? Would you like me to tell you? Okay. Laws of the Medes and the Pharisees was the Medo-Persian Empire had a law, a system of regulations and laws that even the king had to obey. And in the Medo-Persian Empire, to make sure that even the king kept to his own law, that the king would give to the people just and right laws, laws that not only benefited the politicians and the rulers, but it benefited the people as well, is that even the king had to obey the law. And if the law went out and was sealed as a law being a law under the seal of the Medes and the Persians, that means not even the king could break or violate that law. In the law whereby they set Daniel up and said that nobody should pray to any god except the God of the king, they set that up basically to catch Daniel. And they set the law up. The law was set under the law of the Medes and the Persians. And the king didn't really understand what was going on, but he sealed it with his seal, and they put it in the law library, and lo and behold, they see Daniel praying three times a day. And how is it that they saw Daniel pray three times a day? Did it in front of his window, didn't he? He knew they passed the law. He didn't care. He didn't care. I get people that ask me all the time, Pastor, do you believe the church will have to go underground? And I say to them, I don't think we should. I don't think we should. I don't think the church should ever hide itself from this world. If we hide our light under a bushel, okay? We used to sing that on the bus, didn't we? Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. There you go. Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. I don't think the church should ever go underground. I think we ought to stay out there and get ready to preach the gospel everywhere we are, and to be persecuted and killed for it, and everything else that God allows them to do to us for the cause of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen with me. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Because that's how I see it. I mean, it may happen, it may not, I don't know. My mom will tell you that I ran away from every fight that my mouth ever started. She didn't. I did. So I guess in those coming days, I'm going to start a lot of arguments and a lot of fights, because I'm going to be preaching the gospel. Okay? But anyway, when the king wanted Daniel out of that pit, not even he could go down and break that seal and say, get him out of there. Why? Law of the Medes and the Persians. Is that if he went down there and broke that seal, he would be just as guilty as Daniel was. He would be in the lion pen the next day. That was the law of the Medes and Persians. God, and listen to this, when it says that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, when it means that He's just, it means God cannot justly, righteously, or in any accordance with the law, bypass the law to come to us to forgive us of our sins in contradiction to the law. There is no part of the law that allows God to violate the law to come to you directly to forgive you of your sins and leave other people to die and go to hell. So if He did that to you, He would have to do that to everybody else in the world. And God is not unjust that way. He is faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I ask people, after I've read that to them, and I would say, would you like to confess your sins to God right now? You don't have to tell me everything. I don't want to know everything. But would you like to confess the fact that you're a sinner right now before God? Would you like to tell God that you're sorry for all of your sins, for all the things you've done? You can be generic if you want. Just tell God you're sorry. You don't want to sin anymore. You want a life that lives better. You want a life where sin is taken away from you. And if they pray that prayer, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Amen? All right, so that's the new law. And that's the new people that are part of this. Let's read Revelation 12, 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Boy, there's a lot here in this one verse to break down. Number one, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. Now, what's interesting is that the multitude that is mentioned, let me put my bookmark here so I get it in the right place later. Oh well. Anyway, the number of people that are mentioned in verses 1 through 8 are specific. There's 12 tribes, 12,000 through 12 tribes. So there's exactly 144,000 Jews. However, with these, and these are going to be the Gentiles, a separate group of people, a great multitude, he said, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Count this. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Four. These people saved by the blood of Jesus Christ in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, this is how they were saved, how they were brought to redemption. They came after the cross came. They are a people that are without number. God did tell Abram that his seed, not seeds many, but his seed, out of his seed, would be a nation that the number of which shall be as the stars of heaven, which no man could tell the number. I love that. Let me ask you, I mean, just how many stars are there? Huh? A lot. You're cheating, Chris. Googlins and Googlins and Googlins and Googlins. Google is actually a number, by the way. I don't know how many zeros it has behind it, but there's a number that is it's called a Google. Are there more grains of sand than there are stars? Are you asking me that question? Tell you what, I'm going to go out and start counting this week. Next Sunday I'll have an answer for you. What? There are not what? Exactly. That's my point. Yeah, that's my point. God said He would number them as the sands of the sea. He would number them as the stars of heaven. And that's what you have here, is that you have them numbered, just like the stars of heaven for number, so that nobody could tell the number of how many people there were. Okay? So these are the stars. And by the way, all through the Old Testament, the phrase sons of God referred to the Old Testament angels. And whenever you find phrase sons of God in the New Testament, it always refers to the sons of God of those who are saved on this earth, baptized, regenerated, and made of the children of God. And now we are the sons of God. And according to Revelation chapter 9, they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. It says about number. They held a great multitude which no man could number. Okay? So in the Old Testament, the sons of God were angels. They were without number. In the New Testament, the phrase sons of God always refers to the living saints of God who are now the sons of God transformed into the body of the sons of God that we are supposed to get one of these days. We don't know what that body looks like. We don't know what it's going to be. But I guarantee you it will be the coolest thing you've ever had on in your life. Somebody say amen. You'll be the prettiest thing that anybody ever looked at up in the stars. You will be full of glory, the Bible says. Oh my goodness. In fact, hold your place there. Turn to Psalm 80. No. Ringing again in about 5 minutes. You see, I know that's my wife. Turn to Psalm 82. Psalm 82 answered a lot of questions for me, and I tell you what, I'm not done with Psalm 82. Psalm 82, Jesus Himself quoted this verse. He said in verse 6, I have said, ye are gods. And all of you, children of the Most High. Who can tell me where Jesus says that in the New Testament? Because I had a lady that called me to argue with me because I said that we are going to be sons of God. And she argued with me and accused me of heresy. Somebody look that up. Can you? Can you? Anybody? Sons of God. Jesus said, He quoted it out of Psalm 82. I have said, ye are sons of God. Just take your search engine and type in sons of God. It'll find it in the New Testament. I think it's only mentioned one or two times in the New Testament in the four Gospels. Hi, Action Jackson. Huh? No, it's got to be in the gospel. Hello, Sister Jan. They rang the bell, but it's my wife, so I'm ignoring her. You can get me out of trouble later if you want. Yeah, why would you do that? Our furnace quit working. No. Yeah. You ever do that on you? Huh. Yeah. Yeah. That's like 15 gallons. Anyway, Jesus said, I have said ye are sons of God, and all of you are children of the Most High. And then He said, if God said that, to whom the Word of God came, is the point I'm trying to make. Okay? You guys eating up all my time, getting me in trouble with my wife. Okay? Huh? What is it? John 10:34. Yeah, of course, now you're saying it. Yeah, John 10:34. There ain't a 10:34. Oh, it's Romans. Anyway, John 10:34. I said, ye are gods, all of you children of the Most High. Yeah. Is it not written in your law, I have said ye are gods? And if you called them gods unto whom the Word of God came and the Scripture cannot be broken, say ye of Him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. Huh? Yeah. And here's the thing. When we die, there is no doubt that we will become as the angels in heaven. The angels in heaven are referred to as God's little g, in that they are immortal, they do not die, they have superior bodies than we do, so on and so on. Yet God said there would be a time when the foolish angels, the foolish gods, when they would fall from heaven like the princes, and they would die like men. Those are the evil angels that are going to fall to the earth. But anyways, so back to Revelation, so we can finish this. Revelation chapter 9, verse, it's hard to turn to that page. What chapter are we in? 7. Thank you very much. I'm trying to hurry. Yeah, verse 9, after this, I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. That means they've received the gospel. They are now transformed into their God bodies. Their new, perfected, glorified, cannot be killed bodies. The bodies that can fly, the bodies that can go through walls, the body that can go through the universe. stood before the throne and before the Lamb and clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. What does white robes signify? Huh? Purity, righteousness. Where did they get it from? We'll answer that. What are the palms in their hands doing? What are they doing with those palms in their hands? We'll look at that next Sunday. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, Lord, for the beauty of it, how it connects, how it ties one thing to another. And Father, it's through connecting these things in the Bible, Lord, that we know, Lord, that we are not wrong, because Your Word is not wrong. Use this book, use it for Your kingdom, Your glory's sake. Bless Your people today, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.